from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby, here we go. It's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It's a proper football Friday. We'll be talking more Cowboys with you throughout the show, including probably some right here. Cowboys Chargers tomorrow afternoon right here on the Fan. Pregame, what, about noon? I think kickoff at 3. Is that right?
Noon.
Yes, sir. All right. So looking forward to that with our guys. Looking forward to Eric Nadell joining us in 20 minutes, talking Rangers with him. You got so much good stuff going on right now with DeGrom, with Kumar Rocker, with I'm actually excited to see Jack Leiter back in the big leagues here real soon, see what he does for a start in about 3 months. But it's time now for a Friday audio feast, and here's Wolchuk.
Let's feast on these audios. Okay, I'm unloading the clip, as Lucius would say here, as it is a Friday, and we've got some leftover audio from the week that we didn't get to. We'll start with your Dallas Cowboys, and the rookies do this when they come back from camp. You know, they'll meet with DallasCowboys.com, and they'll do, you know, some interviews. And we had a sing-off between Maris Leofau and Ryan Flournoy, your two rookies. Mm. Who do you think did better? Here is the sing-off with Maris and Ryan.
What's your hidden talent that comes off the football field?
I'm literally capable of doing anything. I feel like
so you take on any challenge?
Any challenge.
That's the word on the street.
So we had a sing-off right now, and he just said anything, right? He didn't say anything. We had a sing-off right now.
Nervous. Used to spend my nights at the ballroom.
Say that song.
Liquor was the only love I've known. Oh, yeah. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottom. And brought me back from being too far gone.
It's gonna be hard to beat that.
Let me hear everybody know this song. Happy birthday.
So, of course, Marist went first and actually sang. And then a good bit there from Ryan Flournoy, like, all right, everyone knows this song. Just doing some happy birthday. Fun moment between both rookies. But how about Maris Leofau? Dude's got some pipes on him.
I kind of feel like that if I heard Maris sing like that and I bragged, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I'm just not going.
I'm not going.
Yeah.
There's no way you're singing better than that guy just sang.
That was an old pro move there from Ryan Flournoy.
Yeah, very, very
good. He's going to bow out of this
one. He's going to bow out.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric, I am seeing something in the folder here. Aaron Rodgers, I'm not gay drop.
What are you seeing? You saw that?
I put that
in there. It's been a thing from this week. We could throw it in the dump here. It's definitely newsworthy for sure.
Okay.
What is this, 1997 again?
This is actually from 2013, apparently, and because now you have the Ian O'Connor, Aaron Rodgers book that's come out, mm-hmm. and so Ian O'Connor at one point during his one interaction for the book with Aaron Rodgers asked him why he felt the need about a decade ago to say that he wasn't gay, okay. And apparently there was some reporting around Aaron Rodgers and his sexuality at the time.
Oh, enough to where Skip Bayless on this.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. Wow. And so he wanted to make it clear. And so I didn't know this audio existed, but apparently he was on local radio in Green Bay about a decade ago, and because of the reporting about his sexuality, he felt the need to address it when sort of asked about it.
I'm just going to say I'm not gay. Mm. I really, really like women. Mm.
So that's pretty much the start and stop of it. Yeah, he's not gay. He didn't say any more He just said he's not gay and he likes women. So
women.
Breaking news here on the Fan: Aaron Rodgers is not gay.
It might have recirculated because of that awesome mustache he's sporting right now.
Oh, is he doing the mustache right now?
It's pretty randy.
Ayahuasca will make you do interesting things.
I'd like to interview him on his experience with Danica Patrick.
Oh, I would love to hear you do that.
Yeah.
Well, there's something funny about, I mean, he...
Because Danica and I do not get along at all.
Well, that would make you wonder. The first time he describes her.
The first time he tripped balls on ayahuasca, it was with her. And it was because he had a high school friend that that had done it and had a whole new perspective on life and called Aaron, was like, dude, you need to do this as well. And so that high school buddy of Aaron Rodgers inspired him and Danica Patrick together to go into the Peruvian mountains and trip balls together.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
There's your Aaron Rodgers news
Thank
of the
you.
Day.
Thank you for that.
Not gay. And first time he did it,
was with
by
Danica.
It, yeah. I mean ayahuasca, and it was with Danica Patrick.
I'd seriously like to have a beer with him and talk about that.
I would like to be a talk about what for that conversation.
We'll talk about his what he thinks about
how not gay he is
his first time.
Yeah. How not gay.
Can go to the Mina Kimes pod now. Seamless transition. Cam Jordan.
We're going to get in trouble for this.
Jumped on with the Mina Kimes pod. And, like, you know, Mina sets up. Do we need just a little bit more hate in the National Football League?
I think so. you know, I think in the AFC North somewhere, I think they get it. But
yeah.
They all hate each other.
They
so
do
I'm,
hate
I'm
each
mixed,
other.
I'm mixed about, like, who do you actually hate? Like, you can't hate everybody in the room. It's just not possible.
So you got to focus on one.
No doubt.
And for you, it's the Falcons.
Absolutely. Wow. Plus, like, a lot of Browns become Steelers, and a lot of Steelers become Ravens, and a lot of Ravens.
Patrick Queen.
Yeah, like, they all just sort of rotate. So, like, how much hate is there if you're all just sharing the same household?
That's true.
But New Orleans and Atlanta, like, that's despicable to trade
they,
over. David Onyemata.
They truly seem to hate each other.
Yeah, like, you should never, like, you can't be like, ooh, I'm a Saint, and be like, man, I hate the Falcons. And the moment you cross over, like, I hate you now.
Ryan Nielsen.
Yeah, traitor. You know, just big trader.
He's a good coach.
Yeah.
He's another one who I think.
Phenomenal guy. Great coach. Trader. Activities. The man went directly over to Atlanta. Like.
Yeah. But now he's in Jacksonville.
Doesn't matter. I walk proudly through that airport, by the way. And they know.
Atlanta.
Yeah. They're like, we hate you. I'm like, I hate you too. And it's respectful.
It's respectful, mutual hate. And I'm here for it. Like, I love the rivalry that we got with the Chiefs and the Bengals. I love Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes' name. I'm not saying it. And I think the Cowboys and Eagles have a genuine hate. When DeMarco Murray goes over to the Eagles, we didn't like it. You're not seeing a whole lot of back and forth there with those two teams. We're living in this jersey swap era. Everybody's loving each other. But I do think it's good when there's, like, real animosity in pro sports between rivals and teams.
That's what made it so funny when Simone Biles over the weekend was wearing wearing
the Packers outfit.
It's a no-no.
A Packers trench coat of her husband, former Packer, now Chicago Bear. Are you kidding me? Did you guys talk about that?
No.
On Monday or anything? We didn't talk about that?
No, we didn't talk about that.
Simone Biles walks in through the tunnel of Soldier Field in Chicago wearing a Green Bay Packers trench coat to stand on the sidelines and watch her now Chicago Bear husband play football.
If that's the last coat in the house, you go buy another one.
I'm like, can you imagine if a Cowboys player's wife walked into AT&T Stadium with an Eagles trench coat on? Are you freaking kidding me? Walchuk would be throwing from the press box chili dogs at her.
I'd probably get kicked out of the
press
box.
And she would deserve all of them.
And it would be Micah Parsons' wife, right?
Yeah,
with a Lane Johnson jersey on or something.
Do you kind of feel like that maybe, okay, it was a rainy game. Okay, you're not giving her any break, right?
Zero.
Her, it was because he played with the Packers last year, so it said his name on it and everything.
If anything, I don't know if she got any U.S. Olympic rain gear. That would have been the best play. But I wonder if it's like that's her best raincoat for one of those
it was
days.
A sunshiny gorgeous
was it a gorgeous
it was a
day?
Summer if it's day a, in Chicago
okay. I didn't know I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Well, she probably just didn't
there are times
she was like she was probably surprised her husband even played for the Bears.
I have
wait where I didn't even realize we were in Chicago.
I was surprised as well. I thought he still was in Green Bay.
I have every rain suit I've ever owned. I have every one of them, and some of them are better than others. And
would you ever wear that Eagles rain suit to AT&T? on the rainy
days. No, you wouldn't.
Well, I wouldn't wear it, to AT&T because we're indoors likely for the game.
Okay, there you go. But that's your way out.
You would never do it. Not to a Cowboy game.
No, and
you definitely wouldn't wear a Cowboys jacket out
Philadelphia. I would never do that. I would never wear a Cowboys jacket in Philadelphia. That's going to get you beat up.
Yeah.
But
they'll wedge batteries into the chili dogs. That
Jacksonville rain suit I have is really good. And if you said I had to stand in a Cowboys game in the rain the whole game, I think I'm wearing the Jacksonville rain suit.
Hey, can you imagine the...
No, I can't.
Can you imagine the PR guy? Like,
thank you so much for that.
Walking up and greeting Simone Biles, and he's like looking at her like, are you doing a bit right now?
We're not even playing the Packers.
Are you ball
sack? Maybe she was trying to be in disguise. Like, they'll never look for you.
It wasn't a good look.
It's like her husband's pictures on the back of it, right?
It says Owens on the back. Yeah. It was bad.
But it's very clearly Green Bay Packers.
The big Packer logo on the front. It wasn't good. All right, let's get a Happy Gilmore 2 update. Adam Sandler on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. What's going on with Happy Gilmore 2? And are we getting an NFL star in this thing?
Happy Gilmore is back.
Yeah. We're going to do a Happy Gilmore. Thank you.
Wait, this is
happening. We're getting ready to shoot it in New Jersey. And we're starting, yeah. New Jersey and you, perfect together. And we start in a couple weeks.
Are you excited? What can you tell us about a Happy Gilmore sequel?
It's good. Like, we worked hard on the script, man. We didn't want to let anybody down. People have been asking me for a long time, do Happy Gilmore 2? And I was always like, nah, I'll only let you down. But then me and my buddy Tim Herlihy, we came up with this idea. We're really excited about it. We rode our asses off. We're continuing to try to make it a movie that you guys will like. And I think we're excited. So many of the golfers are being nice, and they're going to be a part of it.
There's going to be some cameos in there.
There's going to be a lot of that. Yeah.
I heard, do you know Travis Kelce wants to be part of this?
Yes.
He talked about it.
Travis has been, he mentioned it, and so we have a nice something for Travis. He's going to come by, and he's cool, very nice guy. You guys would love him in real life. What a big, handsome guy, and
funny and cool as hell. He's a stud.
He's a stud, and he's so funny. And
have you done the Happy Gilmore swing in a while?
I did it. I have to practice. You know, you got a hop, skip, and a hit, and I did it recently. But, you know, it seems simple, so I tried it out. I fell. I laid there for a while, and then somebody brought me a lemonade, and I just kind of laid down on the ground drinking a lemonade for a while. But I'll be ready when it comes when it's time to shoot. I'm a gamer, man.
That's right. I know you always show up.
That's right. Our guy's a gamer. I felt like that would make you feel better, Brian. You're not the only one out there who's taking tumbles these days. Okay, Adam Sandler's out here. He's well falling as well.
Yeah. Way to pick your guy up.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Travis Kelce's out here. I mean, we're already starting to see the movie career blossom. He's making his film debut in an action comedy movie called Loose Cannons, which is directed by Chad Stahelski, who was one of the directors in the John Wick franchise. So
is Travis Kelce about to be like a...
This is supposed to be like a buddy cop type of movie.
And he's
in it. He's in it. So maybe this is already one step, you know, out of the league here. I think maybe final season for Travis Kelce, and then he's going into acting. Be my guess.
Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
There it is, a Friday audio feast for us. It's time now to chat with Eric Nadell, Hall of Fame voice of the Rangers, jumps on with us next. The pregame coming up at 5:30 here on your home of the champ.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It is time now for our weekly conversation with Eric Nadell. We'll talk Rangers, we'll talk baseball, maybe some music, and maybe we'll hear what he's drinking and thinking. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is hurt in an accident, not your fault, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I am doing great, enjoying some spectacular mid-70s temperatures here in Cleveland with a nice little breeze. It feels like fall. It's really nice.
Right on. So what are you looking forward to from the ball club this series and the rest of the way through?
Well, this Cleveland team, you know, kind of like the Rangers, has stopped hitting. You know, they had a big lead earlier in the season. It has kind of dwindled down to two games now, largely due to poor hitting since the All-Star break. And, you know, most people think they're basically just reverting to the norm, you know, that a bunch of guys were playing over their heads in the first half of the season. And, you know, since the All-Star break, they have a losing record. And now they're desperately trying to hold on to first in the Central Division. But what we anticipate, to answer your question directly, is a low-scoring series because neither of these teams have scored very much since the All-Star break, and specifically in the month of August. The Rangers are down to right about 4 runs a game in the month of August, and Cleveland, since the All-Star break, is averaging about 3.5 runs a game.
Is there a fall guy? Is there something to point to for how the offense has collapsed so significantly?
I don't think so. You know, it's hard to point fingers when you look at a team that led the major leagues in runs last year and has pretty much the same personnel and the same coaching staff. You know, I don't know that you can really, you know, point to anybody and say, you know, you're the reason that every guy on this team except for Josh Smith is having an off year offensively. It's really hard. Obviously, Seattle has pinned it on manager Scott Servais and fired him, but I don't really think it's necessarily fair.
And plus, I was looking at the standings earlier and decided they can still lose 3 more games and have a shot here, Eric.
Just 3.
3 the rest of the way?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
You figure they can still win 90 and be in pretty good shape at the end?
Yeah, yeah. But
have you decided which 3 they're going to lose?
You know,
the
I'm
A's
not planning
come
on,
to mind,
still
Eric.
Working on that one.
I'm planning
Colorado on the schedule somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, we're going double digits here, starting with this Pittsburgh. This is the big turning point that we've been waiting for. But, I mean, we do have plenty of fun stuff to look forward to here with the minor league pitchers and then Jacob DeGrom last night. Is there a buzz within, you know, the ballpark talking about it amongst folks from Texas?
Yeah, people are excited about DeGrom, disappointed that Max Scherzer is not making his rehab start tonight. And, you know, we start to think now we're just a week away from these minor league call-ups happening in September, and you know, we would anticipate certainly seeing Justin Foscue come back here and getting a bunch of at-bats at first base. Who knows who else? I think Ezekiel Duran will start getting more at-bats. The question is, when is that going to happen? And I imagine it's going to be sooner rather than later.
Eric, is there anything you miss about old Cleveland Stadium?
I miss where the broadcast booth was. Even though this one is one of the better ones at Progressive Field, the old Cleveland Stadium had the second best booth location of any place I've ever worked. In those old stadiums that were just 2 decks, the broadcast booths tended to hang from the second deck, and there was an overhang. So much like Tiger Stadium, the booth was extremely low and extremely close to home plate. It wasn't quite as close as Tiger Stadium, but it was definitely the second best I've ever worked in. So I really miss that. I also really miss the opportunity to use the word cavernous.
Cavernous, yes, yes. I kind of thought maybe when you go to Oakland, when those times in Oakland was cavernous, was another one there. But this was more cavernous, right?
Yeah,
this
place you're talking about 80,000 seats in that old stadium that was built for football. Yeah.
Did you have to have like a coin jar when you first called a Cleveland game after they changed the team name over to the Guardians?
I still do. I said Indians once last week. in previewing this series and talking about the fact the Rangers are going to have to play a first place team on this road trip, in addition to the worst team in baseball. I think I call them the Indians. I always catch myself immediately when I say it, but it does still spill out once in a while.
Cleveland as a city, Eric, what do you do out there, man?
Well, it's much improved. You know, the downtown
Rock and Roll Hall
of Fame
used to
have nothing to do. Yesterday we had a day off here, yeah. So I spent the whole afternoon at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
There you go.
I absolutely love it. I went to a jazz concert last night at a really cool theater called the Ohio Theater, which reminded me a lot of the Majestic in Dallas, about the same size, built it around the same time, you know, about 100 years ago. And had a wonderful time there. The crowds in Cleveland at concerts I have found to be more enthusiastic and more vocal than any other place where I go to live music. And, you know, they talk about Cleveland as the birthplace of rock and roll and all that. And they really do live up to it in the way the crowd performs at concerts.
Eric, they have that station WMMS there.
The buzzard.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to. I'm so happy when I ask some of these questions to you. Sometimes I'm terrified, but the fact that you. But how about that? As far as the power rank, that is that one of the best rock stations in the country?
Well, it's a little bit hard rock for my taste.
Sure.
I prefer a more eclectic mix with more singer-songwriters mixed in. But it was, you know, the original rock and roll station they claimed to be. And, you know, the first, quote, rock and roll disc jockey, Alan Freed, was here in Cleveland. And at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there's actually a cubicle you can go into and listen to air checks from disc jockeys going back to the 40s.
Wow.
And that was fantastic. I spent quite a bit of time in there yesterday listening to a lot of the guys who I grew up listening to in New York. You know, Murray the K at his swinging soiree. Cousin Brucey, Bruce Morrow on WABC in New York. Ron Lundy and Dan Ingram, who were New York disc jockeys. And then listening to some guys from around the country who I'd never heard, you know, who were the top 40 disc jockeys there in the 50s and the 60s. I really loved it.
I think WMMS had their thing, if it's too loud, you're too old. I think that was their motto.
I believe I now am. I've proven that.
Eric, Nate, are they still putting out good music these days, Cleveland?
I haven't looked to see what the radio situation is now. You know, I am so devoted, you know, to our public radio station, KXT, when I want to listen to music or just listening to stuff that people have sent me that, you know, I want to stream and listen to, that I don't really listen to local radio very much, you know, except for the couple of cities, you know, where I just love their station so much. Seattle is one of them, KEXP. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. And Chicago, I still love listening to WXRT. In Chicago. Those are probably my two favorite local stations outside of KXT in Dallas.
Well, Kumar Rocker has had all the right notes at AA, going to AAA. How excited should we be about this guy who's just had all the answers here?
Really pumped. I mean, he's been unhittable, and it'll be really interesting to see how he does when he moves up to the next level and whether the Rangers are interested in giving him a shot in September, or, you know, you do have the free agency clock to concern yourself with in a season where the Rangers don't appear to be going anywhere. You know, do you want to do that, or do you want to just let him pitch at AAA and hopefully develop some dominance there, come into spring training next year, you know, with a shot to make the ball club, but without necessarily having pitched in the major leagues yet.
3 months since Jack Leiter had a big league start. How much more optimistic can you be considering how good he's been for like the last 20 innings?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I think we've learned not to pay much attention to minor league statistics if they are, you know, so different from the stats that a guy has posted in the major leagues. You know, and we've seen this with Leiter. You know, his command for me in the games that he pitched up here was not big league caliber, and you can get away with that in the minor leagues very frequently. So, you know, I can't tell whether the numbers he's put up in the minor leagues recently are due to hitters chasing and swinging at pitches that they're not going to swing at here. The only way we'll know is to get him here and see. But I look at those numbers with a lot of skepticism. But when you look at his stuff, though, you know, you're wondering, how can this guy, you know, not perform at the big league level as well? So I am kind of anxious to see him get up here. I'd like to see him get a regular turn the rest of the way.
You've seen so many great careers start. You've seen some careers end. What do you think about Scherzer's shoulder now? Is the game sending him a message, maybe? Or
boy, that's a good question. You know, he wants so badly to keep pitching, to be able to pitch next year. It's hard for me to imagine that with all he's gone through in the last 2 years with his injuries, that he wants to keep battling and do that. you know, with everything he's accomplished already, winning two World Series and, you know, all of the Cy Youngs and the rest of it. But clearly he loves pitching and he loves competing. And perhaps the game is sending him a message, but he doesn't want to receive it. He wants to keep pitching and doing everything he can to try. And, you know, I definitely credit him for that.
Eric, we've been sort of remiss not to play this particular game with you all season long, honestly. But I have a clip of Jared, who you know as well as anybody. And he is analyzing a particular player on this Rangers team. Now, it's only 3 seconds of a hint, but I'd like to play you this, and then you guess which current Ranger Jared is describing.
Oh, cool.
All right, here it is.
You know, what he's got working there between the knee and the waist is pretty impressive.
That's the best reaction since Nathaniel Lowe.
If you need to hear it again, just let me know, Eric.
Oh, my goodness. I have no guesses.
Oh, okay, no guesses. We'll dial it back next week and
ponder.
We'll keep this game going until you nail it. All right, we'll get you some confidence here over the course of the next couple of weeks.
All right, thanks.
have a great weekend, Eric. Oh, hey, what you drinking and what you thinking?
Yeah. Oh, this ballpark is a Pepsi park.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
And so I'm the one thing good about a park being a Pepsi park is that they usually have Mountain Dew, and sometimes they even have Diet Mountain Dew.
Ooh.
And, you know, as I try and get up for a game and get my energy level going, Diet Mountain Dew is usually my choice. So I'm excited to be in a Pepsi park for that reason. But what I'm thinking is, you know, we talked about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a little bit. You know, everybody who loves music should make a trip to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, you can easily spend a whole weekend there. There are so many films in there you can watch, you know, other than the actual displays, and see the clothing and the equipment that people used. But one of the displays that I really like, it's called the 500 Essential Songs of Rock and Roll. And they actually have them alphabetical by group, and rather than rating them 1 to 500. And they go back to the 50s, to the predecessors, you know, of Elvis Presley. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was fascinating. You can listen to all 500 of the songs in one of these booths. And I went through it yesterday and basically listened to the songs that were in the top 500 that I'd never heard of before, or the artists I've never heard of. And it was really illuminating. There's a guy named Jimmy Reed who had some songs in the 50s that were kind of rockabilly type songs, pre-Elvis, and Etta James, and you know, Sister Sharp, and lots of different artists I really didn't know anything about. But the other thing that was really cool about that, you know, for me, one of the underrated bands of all times is the Beach Boys.
Oh, wow.
And they had 5 songs in the most influential 500 songs of all time. The Beatles had 7, for those who were wondering. Mm. Bob Dylan had 5, but the Beach Boys had 5, and I loved seeing that. You know, I think that God Only Knows, you know, might be the best rock and roll song ever written for me. And seeing that in there was, you know, that was really gratifying, along with 4 of the other Beach Boys songs. Don't Worry Baby is another one of my all-time favorites.
I love it, man. It's so cool when you talk baseball and music, and we always appreciate it here on a Friday. Thanks, man. Have a great weekend there in Cleveland, and we'll chat with you next week.
You too. See ya.
Salute. The Hall of Fame voice of the Rangers, Eric Nadell, live from Cleveland, pregame coming up at 5:30. I believe Sands is doing a TV. Yeah. Right? So yeah. Pease will be on at 5:30 with the pregame. All righty. When we come back, time for Woolchuck's Top 10. What you have in store, buddy?
Well, it is the return of college football tomorrow. We've got the top 10 college football programs of all time and an update on your Mavs and television for next year. That's next.
Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for Woolchuck's Top 10. Here he is, Zach with an H. Your Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much. We're going to get to your top 10 college football programs in just a moment. But we do have some news, and this is regarding Bally and your Dallas Mavericks. So there's a report out that it seems the Mavs will not be on Bally Sports Southwest next season. The Diamond Sports Group filed a motion asking bankruptcy judge to reject its deal with the Mavs and said the franchise mutually wants to terminate the rights agreement ahead of this season. So the judge just needs to sign off on it, and we'll have a parting of the ways with Diamond Sports Group, a.k.a. Bally, and your Dallas Mavericks next year. So not sure what that would mean for where the Mavericks go. Maybe they end up doing what the Stars are doing, and you get a victory plus type of deal to watch your Dallas Mavericks. But as of now, seems like they're moving away from Bally for next season.
That's hallelujah. Wonderful. That's wonderful, man.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Big, big win. Big victory for all.
Hopefully this becomes a free or borderline free viewing experience.
Yeah. I mean, it you should not have to pay to be able to watch your local sports teams.
I feel like, you know, this is all about trial and error. And, you know, we've been poking around and trying to find the streaming thing that worked for everybody involved. And clearly what that last model had devolved to with regional networks trying to partner up, just it totally ran amok and it prevented fans from seeing their games. And now we're about to break into the next thing that I think is going to be a lot better.
I'm pretty pumped for it. Now, I did just see this Kennedy Landry, Bruce Bochy's talking about Max Scherzer. So the best I can tell you is that he's just not ready, just not quite there yet. I can't tell you when right now. He'll let us know when the rehab continues. So he was scratched from the start yesterday or today that he was supposed to have. Bochy went on to say there has to be some concern there. Man, I hope this thing clears up and he gets back out there. I'm disappointed for him that he's had to push this start back because I know he wants to pitch in the worst way. But, I mean, this could just be father time. I mean, I know you just asked that to Eric Nadell there, Gavin. But, I mean, there's been a lot of wear and tear on the arm, the shoulder, over a Hall of Fame career for Max Scherzer. It might just be the end.
Yeah, and you got a couple of good starts from him last year, and it was cool that he was on the team. But overall, you know, you didn't get much out of Max Scherzer. And if I'm Max, I'm looking at how these last 2 years have gone, really, since coming to the Rangers, and I'm like, man, I just can't get right. It's one thing, it's another. My arm's going numb. My shoulder's hurt. This is what you call being old. And I think the signs are pretty clear for him. But, you know, if the Rangers decided to bring him back on a team-friendly deal next year, I think I'd be excited about the possibility because when he does get it going, you can definitely see, you know, vintage Max in there from time to time.
All right, let's talk some college football, shall we? Week zero is upon us. We've got matchups tomorrow. Florida State, Georgia Tech from Ireland kicking off at 11 o'clock. And tomorrow night, SMU in Nevada, McKay Stadium in Reno. They're taking on the Wolfpack. That'll be a 7 o'clock kick on CBS Sports Network. We've also got Hawaii's going to be in action. Montana State, New Mexico. That's a big one, Brian. I know you got that one circled. Big New Mexico fan.
I am about the Lobos.
I know you are. University Stadium, you said oftentimes, underrated venue.
Very underrated.
Very.
Make you feel like you're at Tiger Stadium occasionally.
They'll get loud, and they're very, very proud. 877-881-1053. Who is the best college football program in the history of the college footballs, and what are your plans for Saturdays this fall to consume all the college football? I'll tell you, you should probably go out to Cosm in Grandscape. This thing is incredible. It's basically like a giant screen similar to the Sphere in Vegas that they're now having. You can go watch English Premier League soccer. You can watch certain college football events during the week. They've got O by Cirque du Soleil. It looks absolutely gorgeous. And I know they're opening Labor Day weekend. You can go check out more details, cosm.com. But that would be the place for me if I can get out there with the friends. I want to be able to consume some college football there.
Yeah, I know. The biggest bummer for me is that I'm a Fort Worth dude, and that's in Grandscape. Because if that was within striking distance, I would be borderline having to pay rent there, you know, that looks like a...
And the fancy cushiony seats.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we talk about how the sports bars need to level up to more of like a loungy kind of situation where, hey, you're a sports bar. You're having people come in here and they're probably going to be seated for roughly 3 hours, give or take, if you're here to watch a game. You know, and if it's a full Saturday, if it's a full football Sunday, 7 hours of commercial-free Scott Hansen. Yeah. You think I want to be sitting on a bar stool doing that? No.
They really should be doing that.
That's why this Cosm place is incredible, because it's like a sports book. It feels like one of those places that as soon as gambling becomes legal, and I'm just speculating here, but like you could snap your fingers and put in some kiosks and some ATM opportunities, and you just start gambling in there. But it looks incredible.
It does.
What a great way to watch a game.
So we've got SI has ranked all the greatest college football programs, and they're doing it by winning percentage, national championships, conference titles, total wins, bowl records, All-Americans, Heisman winners, draft picks, just a variety of different things that they're putting together here to crown the number one program in college football history. I'm sure people texting in, they're going to be rooting for their schools here. 469, Roll Tide. No college program is even close to Bama.
I kind of, you know what, when I started writing them down, I was thinking about the Bear Bryant era in the 70s, you know, when they, in the 70s. And then they had a little bit of a lull there.
Sure did.
And then they went, when Saban got hired from the Dolphins, and I think that was 07.
I think you're right.
And so when it, so the 70s with Bear Bryant, and then then starting from 2007 on, I think Alabama's been one of the best programs in college football history.
Our buddy Daniel and Forney, Longhorns are the best, and I'll spend my Saturdays listening to 105.3 The Fan because I'm a Tolo, and we love you.
469. I wonder, Nebraska's got a similar run like that, too.
Yeah.
Nebraska's got a similar run through the 70s and then into the 80s and then the 90s, and then it kind of fell apart from there, I believe.
All right, so we start at number 10. Go Tigers.
Oh, is it the 2019 LSU team?
So this is just entirety.
Entirety.
From what they've done in the entire course of the program's history until now. These are the 10 best schools in college football history.
Okay, LSU.
They got LSU at number 10. They say LSU ranks 14th all time in win percentage.
Yeah.
Sixth nationally with three Heisman Trophy winners. They're eighth all time with draft selections.
Two in the last 5 years, I believe.
And they're ninth in first round NFL draft picks all time. They've been pumping out talent in the NFL. So they come in at number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine is Nebraska.
Yep.
Nebraska ranks second all time with 46 conference championships. 10th among all college football teams in win percentage, 6th with three Heisman Trophy winners, and 8th all time with 730 total weeks in the AP Top 25. Pretty damn incredible.
Yep. USC next.
Nope. Georgia.
Georgia.
The Bulldogs coming at number 8. Mm. The last three seasons have helped build Georgia's all-time reputation. Already one of college football's more accomplished programs. Bulldogs are 10th with draft selections, 9th in total wins, and are top 15 among schools with win percentage. But if they didn't have their run of back-to-back national titles, they wouldn't be in the top 10 here.
Yeah. Where's OU in this thing?
OU's going to be in the top 3.
Okay.
So, Carter Freeman, you're going to be very happy with that.
USC?
USC did not. Yeah, they'll be in the top 3, too.
Michigan.
Michigan coming up here soon. Michigan's coming up right after this school.
Notre Dame.
Texas.
Oh.
Texas comes in at number 7. Texas ranks 5th all-time among college football programs in wins, 7th in win percentage, and they've posted the 7th best numbers in both consensus All-Americans and weeks in the AP Top 25 rankings. 6 is Michigan, the Wolverines. No college football program has won more games than Michigan in more than 150 years. The Wolverines were the first to surpass 1,000 total wins. It's national championship run that they just went on. They're 3rd with 88 All-Americans, 2nd in weeks in the AP poll, 5th in draft picks, and 2nd in win percentage and claimed titles. So pretty impressive resume there for Michigan. Notre Dame is 5.
Notre Dame's 5.
The Golden Domers rank 1st among all college football teams with All-Americans. 7 Heisman Trophy winners. Draft picks, they've got a 525 all-time, and they're 4th in weeks in the AP poll, 4th in win percentage, and 4th in all-time victories, plus they're 3rd with 11 total national championships at their disposal. 4, we go to Columbus. It's the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State leads all college football teams in 3 key categories: total win percentage, Heisman Trophy winners, and weeks in the AP poll. And the Buckeyes are 2nd in consensus All-Americans. They're 3rd in total draft picks and 3rd in total victories and 6th when it comes to 8 national championships. Here's your top 3. Boomer Sooner at number 3.
Yeah.
Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
OU is also first all-time with 7 Heisman Trophy winners, in addition to a record 50 conference championships.
Wait, Notre Dame has 7 as well, right?
Yeah, well, so they're tied for first all-time.
Yeah.
They've got 50 conference championships, 3rd most weeks in the AP poll, 4th most NFL draft selections, and their 5th in win percentage, 6th all-time with All-American.
They had a run there with Bud Wilkerson where they didn't lose a game for like 49 straight games or 47 straight games.
And I feel like they don't have a dip, I mean, that I can think of when it comes to every decade they've been competitive.
They had a dip, and Carter will come in here and he'll explain it. It's the dip they had when they had the John Blake was defensive line, was the head coach. Gary Gibbs was a little bit of a dip there that they had.
When was that? Was that before Switzer?
Yeah. No, that was after. That was much after. Like, John Blake came in there and they were not good.
So in between like Stoops, before Stoops got and brought the program back?
With Stoops. Like Gary Gibbs, Blake was bad, and then Stoops got the job and away they went again.
USC comes in at 2. Trojan 6th all time with weeks in the AP top 25, 2nd among schools for draft picks. Yep. 8th nationally in win percentage and 3rd with 11 national titles. But number 1 is Alabama.
Yeah.
The kings of college football, thanks to a pair of historic dynasties led by Bear Bryant and Nick Saban.
There you go.
Their first all-time with 18 national titles. Alabama coming in as your top-ranked college football program.
They had a poor run, much like what we're talking about with Oklahoma. They had Mike Shula as their coach, and that was not very good. They had a couple of different guys that, I'm thinking about the offensive coordinator that was there. But yeah, they got
like Franchione. They
sure did. They absolutely did. So yeah, they had a little bit of a run where they were not very good. DeBose was there. I was trying to think of all the coach they've had, but it was kind of a Bill Curry. Mm-hmm. And there were some poor times there a little bit.
Well, there's your top program in college football as we get excited for another college football season.
Thank you, Woolchuck. In addition to the finest coming up next with the Chief, buddy, where are you taking it?
We got date night, we got football discussed, and we have a stat of the day next year in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.